Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about something we could all use more of right now. Sex, great sex. Now, you should know that's not my copy. That's what they wrote. But yeah. I do agree with it in principle. I think we could all use great sex. And sometimes a fella needs a little help there. And what's better than Blue Chew? I mean, you can now increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue.
And Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Danny, you
yes.
had a big meal.
Yeah.
It's totally cool.
Well, because, you know, you go out to dinner with somebody and you're eating and maybe you're having like oysters or tacos.
Or raviolis.
Yes. And so you're full. And now what am I going to do? I want to perform. Can I take it on a full stomach? I can.
But Danny, do you ever worry that you're taking something that's not made in the USA?
Constantly.
But
this is USA.
I'm here to tell you, USA all the way. It's prescribed online by licensed physicians. So you don't have to go to the doctor, wait in line. And it's even cheaper than a pharmacy. And they prepare and ship it right to you in a discreet package. I know that that's a big thing for you. You're tired of getting...
No, all of my... All of my other weird ointments that come in and it's marked and it's like anal fissure cream.
Uh-huh.
And everybody sees it.
This is discreet. It looks like you're getting a book.
Oh, that's great. That's
so you don't even have to leave the house.
And right now we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. And get your first shipment free when you use our promo code, the special code Danny, D-A-N-N-Y. I'm so proud. My name is.
I'm so jealous.
Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Danny to try it free.
Blue Chew is a better, cheaper choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Doing It with Danny Zucker and Jenny Johnson podcast. Yes. And remember, when you support our sponsors, you help make this podcast possible. So please be sure to use promo code Danny at BlueChew.com.
D-O-I in apostrophe, I-T-W-I-T, H-D-A-N-N-Y, and J-E-N-N-Y. Doing it with Danny and Jenny. Doing it with Danny and Jenny.
Thank you, Eli Braden.
Thank you, Eli Braden. Happy belated birthday to Eli. That song is, I don't know that we would be here today if it wasn't for that song.
I go top three, maybe. I would go Strawberry Fields Forever, Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Fortunate Son, CCR.
Doing It with Danny and Jenny.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe California Dreamin'.
Maybe.
And so that would be my list right there.
Yeah. Danny, since for the first time, our guest is your friend, too.
I mean, that sounds terrible. But yes, it's true. I don't, it's not that I'm not friends with the people you pick. I just don't like them. No, I'm kidding.
So I'm going to let you introduce her since I know how much you adore her. And we've already fought over this, but you won the coin toss.
Okay, cool. So our guest is... I mean, what doesn't she do? She's an actor. She's a comic, a humanitarian, and based on what you're seeing in the background, a cellist. One of the funniest people I know and a good friend. The brilliantly talented and delightfully oddball. I don't mean that. Let's go back.
No, we're leaving.
Hold on, I want to take it again. But leave this all in.
From the top.
Wonderfully talented and lovely and kind person. No, that's terrible too. Let's go back. She's really fucking funny. This is the great Erica Rose.
Erica Rhodes. Here come the applause, the applause, the applause.
Nuts. We'll add that.
Everyone's overwhelmed. The tears, emotion.
Crying.
You guys put in an audience after and post?
No, they're here. You ruined
it. Oh, they're here. You just, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what, Erica? I give you like this perfect introduction. And then you fuck it up with that. I mean, my
no, so- I just had to rain on the third. It's because you did three takes, you know?
Yeah. I don't, you know.
I'm old three take Danny. That's what they called him at Modern three Family.
Three take Danny. Three take Danny. Why does that really sound real?
It does. It does.
Because it's real.
It's real. I wish it was only three takes.
Three take Danny.
I had one line on Modern Family, on my only cameo on the show, where I had to drive a car and deliver a line. And I didn't realize how hard that would be to hit my mark in the car. And it was also one of the latest we've ever shot. It was like 2 a.m. in this residential neighborhood. And I kept missing my mark. It was the last shot. And it was really, it was terrible. And my only line was,
what was your line?
I see you've met my wife. That was it.
Perfect.
Which actually, it was about a guy whose marriage wasn't working out. Oh. Now ask me like how I get my ideas.
You draw from.
What did I
draw from other people's experiences?
That's funny though, because when I did Modern Family, I had a name tag that I had to put on,
uh-huh.
And the only reason they had to do a couple takes was because I kept not putting the name tag on at the right moment.
Oh, continuity stuff.
Yeah, it was like either a little early or a little late. So I would have been a one take wonder, except for this business of putting on a name tag.
It's hard to. It's like people don't know. Acting's so hard. I mean,
yeah, acting is basically just weird little marks you have to hit.
You have to hit that. I mean, coal miners have it easy, you know, compared to what we compared to like really treading the boards. So, Erica, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm great. It's so nice to see you both. Like, I feel like it's rare to do a podcast where you're just like, oh, I just want to hang out with you guys.
I know.
Right?
We try to make that with all of our guests. But
yeah, we try to make everyone comfortable and feel like we're just welcoming you into our homes.
Yeah. But yeah. In this case, we're really comfortable because we all know you.
We all know each other. Jenny and I have known each other more recently because she's just been texting me, checking on me, which has been so nice.
Well, it would have been funnier if you'd have been like just harassing you, just constantly. Yeah, just pictures of my tits. That's all I ever send her.
I don't know, she just keeps stalking me and angrily sending me GIFs all the time.
I mean, Jenny is very.
Is it GIF or GIF? How...
Okay. I think
I literally say GIF GIF every time I go to tell someone, oh, I sent you a GIF GIF. And I just end up saying,
I don't know what it, I have no idea what it is.
It's got to, the guy who created it, yeah. I've heard, yeah. Says it's called GIF.
Okay.
But I don't agree with that because the first word in GIF, I don't know what the I and F are, but the first word is graphic. It's not JAFIC. And right. So it has to be GIF. And he knows
my whole
graphic. Wait, user interface? What, guys, just speak. What is it?
What does that mean? User interface.
That seems
I think
like
that's what GIF stands for, graphic user interface.
Oh.
But like,
no, that's GUI. Okay.
Oh, that's GUI. Duh. Oh, sorry. I'm.
No, God, my mind. This, he's I'm sorry.
I apologize. Sorry, we're going to cut that out.
No, I want to leave that in.
No, we're leaving it in. I want you to feel this shame. I want you to feel it.
Because people sometimes will get rid, you know, hey, give guy a break, let him have a little more time. And we love him. And he's a wonderful, very special guy. Very special.
He is a very special guy.
Do I know Guy?
But he's not a very special guy. It's Guy.
Oh, see? So it is GIF, because it's Guy.
It's gotta be, because I grew up in a Jiffy peanut butter family, and it's fucking, that's J-I-F-F-Y, Jiffy.
You have to edit that out.
No, we don't. We can keep Jiffy in. It doesn't compete with our sponsor, Blue Chew, which are which is boner medication.
Yeah, it's our boner chew.
Oh, graphic.
By the way, Erica, Blue Chew is, if you're having problems with your erectile dysfunction, Blue Chew will be the perfect thing for you.
Oh, is it your sponsor?
It yes. literally is. So, so
we have a boner chew sponsor. Why would you think we wouldn't? So, like,
seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
God. Yeah, so, go and get a discount.
How was I supposed to know?
By the
you
way,
weren't supposed to know. But
use promo code Danny.
Yeah, use promo code Danny to oh get. So here's the thing. Let me explain Blue Chew just for a second. This isn't the commercial, guys, but it just.
What kind of podcast is this?
Well, we're going to talk. It's all about Jenny and I sample sex toys, and then we give product reviews. So I'd like to.
For example, this right here.
Wow, if that were a sex toy, I'm missing out.
Yeah, that's industrial.
That's an interesting one.
What are you holding up, Jenny? It looks like a gun.
That is actually my sister sent this to me as a joke for Christmas. It's from the Minions movie. It's a fart gun.
Oh, it's a Minions fart gun.
It's a Minions fart gun. And when I'd gone for Christmas a few years ago, my nephew got a fart gun for Christmas and I didn't. And I was like oddly upset. And I was kind of like sitting there within a huff, like trying not to be, but I was like, how did he get a fart gun and I didn't? So my sister sent me one for Christmas as a.
I think my nephew would like a fart gun.
Would you like a fart gun?
That was sort of my way of saying that without saying
it. Okay, we got
my
it.
My nephew would like
fart
a fart
gun.
But my nephew first.
Yeah.
Fart gun and Blue Chew boner pills on the way.
Yay!
Yay, that's better.
Yes, this is what I need to start my day.
Okay, now you're overselling.
Okay. You know what I need to get my morning started?
Hey, yeah. Speaking of erections, who here has a dead dad?
Oh, yeah. All of us. We're in the Dead Dad Club. Welcome, Erica.
Welcome, Erica. I hope you got the gift basket.
But that's what I'd like to say, because I found out about this through Erica, actually, not even through you, Jenny, but that like you were reaching out to her when your father passed away recently. And and Jenny is always very good about that stuff. She's very
kind.
If you lose a dad or a pet, she's gonna get up to you.
Wow. That is really, I have to say, it really made a difference. You know, she kept checking in and it really meant a lot, actually.
Oh. Well, it's one of those things, because when I saw like what you were going through, I'm like, oh, wow. Flashback, deja vu. I mean, the going through everything, your dad, the hospice thing, your mom, you got a sister, like everything, like literally everything that was happening. It was like, we were living these odd parallel weird lives, and I'm like, okay, I so know what you're going through. So I felt like it was my turn to, you know, as a member of the Dead Dad Club, to help.
Oh, that thank you, because I think I would feel a similar way, like if I had seen, I mean, I've seen a couple, actually a few female comics have all lost their dads, so I felt the same way watching that. But everybody is different. You're not sure, because some people aren't as close with their dads.
Yeah.
You know? There's been. Have you ever had the moment?
Through and.
But Eric, have you had the moment yet? If not, you will. Where somebody's like, "Oh, I lost my dad too," and you're like, "I'm so sorry," and they'll go, "No, he was a fucking asshole." You're like, "Oh, okay." Like, have you ever had that, Danny? Where like you try to be nice, and like somebody loses someone, and then you're like, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry," and they're like, "No, don't be."
I without a doubt had that. The other thing that happened. Erica, I think we had talked about this once, but sometimes what will happen is like, you'll be like in the middle of all your grief, and then someone will tell you something that like, they'll go, I broke up with my boyfriend this week and it was really hard. So I understand. Like, they try and compare their pain to yours.
Yes. Exactly. Definitely. Or it's interesting with the dad thing or with the family member where they'll say, I lost someone 20 years ago, and you're just like, okay, but this was like just happened.
Yeah. This was like yesterday. So it's kind of different.
Yeah.
I didn't think, remember when Danny, my dog, I had two dogs when I moved out to LA, Hank and Birdie, rest in peace, but they were like older when I moved out here. So I knew, you know, it was coming. And when, I don't know if it was maybe when Hank died first or something, and people, I posted on Instagram and people were like, oh my God, I know, last week my chihuahua died. And I'm like, no one cares about your fucking chihuahua. We're talking about my baby. Like, I so badly wanted to do that just to make myself laugh. I never did it. But I was like, just somebody being so kind. Like, I understand. I just had to put my, you know, my, you know, golden doodle down 2 weeks ago. Like, nobody fucking cares about your dog. Like, you know, my big, sweet, beautiful baby.
I feel bad now that I just said that, because I was thinking, well, actually, I think in 20 years, I'll still be sad about my dad, you know? Really? So, yes, I will.
You've already forgotten.
I have a photo of him right on my fridge.
Oh, she's going? Oh.
Hey, but look, I have a photo of my dad right here. So it was quick.
Oh, my God.
That was my semi-prom.
I can see that is a very big, that's a prom dress if ever I've seen one.
That is a prom
dress. Oh, Dad. Now, Jenny's really good if your dad or an animal dies, but if your mom should pass away, she doesn't give a shit.
No. I was like, that bitch had it coming. She had it coming.
I have to say, yeah, my dear friend who I am close to said the weirdest thing, which was, you know, and I'm sure she won't listen to this, but she said...
Nobody listens to this. We're literally just having a call between.
I just want to tell you,
this really isn't a podcast. This is
no, this is just a long excuse so we can have a conversation, Erica. So
that's the only reason I do podcasts, just to get out of the house. Which is ironic.
Our podcast is a front just for us wanting friends. That's all it is.
So because my dad has had MS, you know, it's like he's had MS a long time. So she said, I know it was a long time coming, but I'm sure it was still hard. And I was like, no, we don't see it that way. It's not like, you know, just because someone's sick doesn't mean you're like, oh, it's going to happen any day.
Right.
You know, like, that's not how you see it.
Well, but that's almost like how dismissive people are with COVID. If somebody dies and they're like, well, he was diabetic and 64. And you're like, well, right.
And you're like,
he's lived 64 years with diabetes. Does that mean that?
Right, exactly. Everybody, yeah.
You know, like, he was 30. Yeah, but he smoked pot occasionally.
Right. It's like, oh, so I'm going to be okay. That is natural then.
You know, people just don't have empathy unless it's actually happened to them in the same way that, you know, if, like, and I was guilty of it before my dad died. If somebody told me that their parent died, I didn't really feel it. I just said, you know, I said, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, about your parent, but I didn't feel anything. And now when someone says it, I'm like, oh, I'm so, you know, like I can really feel it now.
Because you now can take yourself to a personal place and go like, oh shit, I know what this person's going through.
I think the advantage of people like who, like, especially if you're funny or you write or perform, is like, you can look at that as art. Like Erica has been writing these Medium pieces, which we'll link to at the end of this.
Oh, cool.
But the stuff that you wrote while you were going through this on your dad, both like from, it was funny. It was never maudlin. Your dad was a funny person. I mean, did you find like, and now when you're trying to write comedy, do you find that it's a way to, I don't know, work this shit out?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been a little bit hesitant to bring it on the road because it feels like people just don't really want to talk about death right now, which I get.
Right.
You know, they're not coming out. They're not like risking their lives to come out and then talk about someone's dad, hear someone talking about their dad dying. That's not what they're there for.
Yeah.
So I've been a little hesitant to explore it, but I did kind of explore it recently and it seemed to work, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I said a couple things about it. I kind of dip in and then I go out. But I do think that we're lucky as, you know, artistic or creative people that we can find comfort in writing or, you know, making something out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing. Like every time I've ever touched upon it or like if on... I still laugh. Like one time on Twitter, about 6 months after my dad died, I was still living in Texas and I had flown out to LA. I had some meetings. And I remember I was like getting out of the car. I had my iPhone. It was on my thigh. I stood up and it drops on the ground, cracks, the million, like just dead. I was like, you got to be shitting me. I call asked in an Apple store. They're like, well, we can leave it here. I'm like, no, I'm just going to take the hit. Give me the phone. And I tweeted, I can't believe I lost my dad and my iPhone in the same year. which I thought was really funny.
And it's amazing.
More people on Twitter were like, that's like, it was so awkward. I was like, wait, you're telling me that it's not funny? It was my fucking dad who would have, by the way, laughed his ass off at that.
Exactly. That's what's so wrong about that mentality.
Yeah. So when you're on stage and you want to like say something, it's like, oh God, sometimes every time I've touched upon it, did you get this? And it's like my least favorite reaction. But when you say something and you hear someone go, oh,
yeah, I can't stand that. Yeah.
I will literally be on stage and go, you need to fucking leave. You just get out. Like whoever kicked that person out that just said, oh, I don't want that energy. I need people to, like, I wouldn't be standing on stage telling a joke if I didn't think it was funny. Like, I'm not, you know, like, we're not there to make people miserable.
I like that joke. You should do that on stage.
I will.
I agree. I think it's a good joke.
It's a funny joke. Yeah.
Yeah. That's just a strong joke, but people are weird. I mean, before Trump, I used to just do nothing but make fun of my kids. And I would always think like, they should take those kids away from you.
I love that joke about your kid. I love that joke. I think it's your pinned tweet.
My pinned tweet. Right? Yeah. Oh,
that's my favorite Danny. Yeah. Three take Danny joke.
You'll have to see my pinned tweet. I won't.
Hog face. Yeah, we can pin his pinned tweet.
No, we'll pin it. Yeah, we'll pin it.
Retweet his pinned tweet.
Do you want to tell us one of your dad jokes, or do you want to save that for stage?
Well, I was the one I'm working on. Well, yeah, maybe I'll save it because they're not worked out yet. Ready. Yeah, they're not quite ready.
Fair enough.
They're sort of half done.
But sing something for us, would you? Yeah. I want to talk about what's amazing. So I met Erica, a friend of mine was producing a short film, and she was there, and she was just this funny person. We just started talking, and she was starting to do stand-up comedy. I saw you, maybe you had only been doing it at that point a year?
Maybe two years.
It seemed like a year because you weren't great yet. I'm kidding.
Let's just say it was a year. Yeah.
Well, actually, I went to see you kill early in your career in Malibu. Remember you did that Malibu thing?
And what's his name was there?
Nick Van Dyke came up to you.
Shut up.
And Ed Asner. The two of them were there. And
I forgot about Ed Asner.
Oh my God. The two
of them. Wait, did y'all have a three-way?
I filmed it.
Why didn't I get a photo with Ed Asner?
I don't know why.
Why do I not know this? It's amazing.
Danny was my photographer. He didn't even know.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
Because he needed three takes and it didn't work.
I only got two takes. That's why. But like, what amazed me about you was just like you really took off in a short period of time. I think like there's like a lot of people who like over the course of just a couple years, like headlining and your own like what was that journey like? I mean, I want to hear just from beginning to end, like when the first time you go on stage, what's that like? When do you start to think like, oh fuck, I can do this?
Well, I still feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
That's the best answer.
I mean, is that normal? Because
I'm told that that's a normal thing because I get that all the time. But I don't know.
When you took off, I'm like, I took off. Like, what are you talking about?
No, did.
Where did I go?
You're like, I used to drop your name. No one knew who the fuck you were. Now, oh yeah, Erica Rhodes. And then I turn on Tom Papa's show and there you are with Tom. And then I turn, and Fortune and then you're on like an NBC show doing stand up. And then you're like, yeah, you're in Montreal.
I guess I do stand up now as opposed to like when we first met, I was sort of trying to do the acting.
Yeah.
And that wasn't really going anywhere except, you know, I did do Modern Family. That was like my big TV credit.
I know.
That's impressive.
Thanks to you. Danny helped me get that audition.
I just introduced you to Jeff, and I would love to take credit for that thing, but he actually remembered you and brought you in for that role. I had nothing to do with it. So you really did get that.
Honestly. Oh,
yeah. All these years, she thought.
I'm willing to take the credit, but I just
you should take a little credit.
I'll take a little credit, fine. You'd be nowhere without me.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, The Modern Family was my first big TV credit.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And people are still more impressed by that than anything else that I've done.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's amazing.
It's true. I don't know if you know, it's kind of a hit show.
It was. Yeah. No, I know.
I remember I saw you with all the trophies and whatnot.
I had it behind me. One of the wildest things for you is your connection to the Prairie Home Companion. You want to talk about that?
Sure. I just started it when I was little, when I was a kid, and then that's sort of how I got my start.
On the Prairie Home Companion, because Garrison is family, right? In some way or no?
Yeah, he married my aunt. My mom met him first because he did a fundraiser for her orchestra.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom was like, you should meet my sister, Jenny. And my aunt Jenny was a musician in New York at the time. Yeah, Jenny. This is why I love Jenny's. Yeah. I do love Jenny. I actually put the name Jenny in my special at one point.
You did?
Spoiler alert, the name Jenny is in my special.
Because of me or because of your aunt?
Mostly you. Don't tell my aunt.
Okay. Fuck her. I don't like her anyway.
And truly, I mean, I want to talk about the special because you were the first person other people have been doing this, but you were the first person to do this that I know of in terms of stand-up comedy and your stand-up comedy special. Tell them what you were supposed to do and then what happened.
Oh, yeah. So I was supposed to do, my April was going to be amazing. I was supposed to do the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and then I was going to go do Tribeca Festival and shoot my special as part of Tribeca. And the funniest part about that was they told me where it was, and I looked at the photo of the venue and I said to my manager, I was like, I don't know, the ceiling's a little high. Well, joke's on me, because everything got canceled, including the special. And then a month later they were like, they want to try to do the special as a drive-in at the Rose Bowl parking lot. And then you know, the ceiling was the sky. So.
Right. You're like, the ceiling, though. Can we work on that?
You just stand up in front of a bunch of cars before, I'd heard anybody doing that.
Yeah, but nobody really knows that we were, the first ones to shoot it like that, because after that, more people started doing it.
Well, you just need to talk about it obnoxiously.
Yeah, you're like, you pop the fucking outdoor cherry. Yeah, exactly. Take credit for that.
Fuck you, Colin Quinn and friends. I was first.
Yeah. Tom Segura and Bert Kreischer, nobody wants to see them.
They don't need anything. And when does the special drop, Erica? April 13th?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Where will it be dropping at? Where will we be able to see this bad boy?
It's going to be probably on Amazon and iTunes and YouTube, and it's Comedy
Just
Dynamics.
Probably on Amazon, probably.
Well, it's whatever Comedy Dynamics does with their normal release thing, they call it a multi-platform release.
Oh my God. Is it multi-platform or jolti-platform?
Guilty.
Guilty platform.
And how long, let's talk about this. So for you to get to, when you taped your special, how long did it take you to build up that set? Because I feel like a lot of people don't understand the, dynamic of doing stand-up and how long it takes a person to, once that special is taped, how long, a year of touring and all, how long it took?
Longer than that. I mean, it was all my jokes, it's probably 6 years of work.
Wow. And we just all blew it in one load at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I had some repeats because I did a dry bar special and I did an album and I have some repeated jokes.
But when you do that, I always feel I feel like a fraud anyway, all the time. I always think somebody's going to come tap me on the shoulder and tell me it's time to go. You had your fun. But when you if I'm doing a set and I see people just the wait staff, I could be doing shows all weekend and the wait staff is hearing it. I don't even want to look at them because I know that they've heard the jokes already. Like,
I
hate telling the same shit.
And same with comics. I hate performing for other comics.
It's the worst.
That's amazing that I had a good set when Danny happened to come, because like I never have good set. Oh, this is funny. This weekend I did a show in Colorado Springs, and you know, it's a small town. And I had a friend who lived nearby who was like, I want to come tape a set. And I was like, okay. I was like, I would come to the first show because there'll probably be more people. Well, he calls me like while he's on the way, and he's like, I don't think I'm going to make the first show. I'll come to the second show. Well, the second show was one of the worst shows I've had in years. And the first show was really fun. Like if he had taped that, it would have been fine. He taped the second show. There were like 15 people there, and it was just like silence the whole time. Like if I posted that anywhere, it would like destroy my whole career.
But that happens. I mean, but the fact is you did the first set. It was fine. It was the same fucking set.
It was the same thing. Well, it wasn't completely the same because I decided to open with a joke about him taping that I thought was funny. Because there's a camera near the stage and I go, it's a small audience. You'd think they know better. I go, I'm taping my special, you guys, for TikTok. It was silent. Like,
that's a good joke.
I thought it was a hilarious joke. Like I'm gonna do my special for TikTok now. You know, this is a big deal. I think they thought I was for real. Like because they don't know what they've heard of TikTok, but they're not on TikTok. They know it's official. They see a camera.
They're losers. They're losers to not know that.
It was silence, and then I never got them back after that.
Like anytime that sort of thing happens, like. I get where I start laughing so hard because it's so funny to me that it's so bad. Like, yeah. And then I start laughing. It's like, I can hardly get my composure back because I think it's so funny to just.
Thought it was hilarious to be like, I'm doing a special for TikTok. That's like, what, 15 seconds?
And just walk up stage. You should be like, this for okay, bye. And then.
Yeah, I should have been like, okay, got it. That's a wrap.
Okay, well, I want to do it. Oh, too bad Vine's not there. You could have done a Vine topper and made it shorter.
Oh my god, I forgot about Vine.
Yeah, Vine was like 7 seconds, wasn't that what
you
it was?
Froze for a second.
Oh, you did too. Guy, you're the one recording. How are we? Guy says we sound okay. Guy with his little messages. We scared him off with his voice.
Oh, he won't come back.
That's what we're aiming for. We just want to sound okay.
No, it's terrifying.
If I'm doing okay, I'm winning. I got to tell you.
It's bad.
That's all I want.
I when I went to do stand-up where I opened for Jenny in D.C., which I, you know, that was like, I'd not done anything like that in like 30 years. And then like one of my college friends winds up coming to the show. And fortunately, it went well. But I was like, this is a terrible thing to do to me, to surprise you, the college friend. It's like literally the second show I've done of the night of four. And my first one was a little bit bumpy because obviously it's the first time I'm, till I found it. And it was like, yeah, it was done. And then like we got off and I was really pumped about how well that show went. And I saw him afterwards. And it's like, did you have a good time? And they were just like, Jenny was so funny. And I was like, no, I know.
Yeah, I forgot.
And I go, oh, thanks. I said, no, you're good. You're always funny. I was just like, wow, she's so good. I was like, yeah, cool. Yeah.
But that's what people said to me too. They're like, that Danny, he was so fucking funny. I'm like.
Yeah,
I know. It was great that I.
That you brought me.
Yeah, I picked him, you know.
I just want the people I bring to like make me the big person in that one moment. I'm needy.
No. I bet you guys are a good team, though. Is it fun to do those shows?
We only did four of them, but it was fun.
It was literally, we did those shows. It was at the DC Improv. And right when we were done, that was like the last shows that they had there before COVID shut everything down.
Yeah.
Like, it was literally, like, we got back when I think I stayed a couple extra days. You flew back and... literally like that was it. I haven't been on a plane since then, which is so bizarre to me. Like I haven't gone. Yeah, it's so strange. Like
I remember flying out there and I was like to DC and I was like, there's a really uptight, like cold, but pretty woman next to me. I was like, she kind of looks like Hope Hicks. And she was really nasty. You know, she is Hope Hicks. And then that was when she had yeah. And then she wound up getting COVID. So.
And you gave
from
it to her, right?
From you?
Yeah. No, I wish.
You just gave her herpes. You
didn't. And then she wound up. Yeah.
She wound up getting COVID down the road. It. Yeah. I'd like to think I helped that happen.
Okay. Erica, you've been on the road. You've actually been flying. You've been, how do you feel about, are you nervous about it? Like,
no. I think I had it last year in March when it was starting. That's my, own health analysis based on absolutely no science.
Yeah. I actually just saw Nate Bargatze just posted a clip of him doing stand up and he was like, everybody's talking about COVID and everyone thinks they had it. You know, it's like, in February,
yes.
I was sneezing a lot. I'm pretty sure I had it. It's like, but I don't know. I have no idea.
I just think I would have gotten it by now again. Like if I was meant to get, I have been traveling so much, I would have gotten it by now.
But when you're going, are you like super careful? Are you masked, face shield, or like how careful are you?
I don't do a face shield. I just do a mask and I don't, talk to anyone. Most people I don't talk to, but I'm just not that paranoid, I guess.
Yeah. And you never really.
I don't talk to most people anyway, but that's.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a loner anyway.
It's sort of like what my mom says, is like, how are you doing? And she's like, I have been rehearsing for being alone. Having no people around my whole life. I'm like ready for this.
It says my time has come. I am here. Everyone get the fuck
away. My mom says it's just me and MSNBC and that's what we're going to do. So,
You're lucky there. It's not me and Fox News.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I got that.
What's coming up for you? I mean, do you have any shows you want to plug?
Yeah. Well, I am doing, when does this go up?
It'll go up.
Tuesday.
A week from today. It will go up February 18th.
18th.
No, 16th, right?
So I don't have shows
until 16th, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have shows until March. I'm going to go do Wise Guys again in Utah.
Oh.
They're a pretty good club. And then I'm going to do Good Nights in North Carolina in April.
In April.
Yeah. So right around the special is going to drop and then you're going to.
And then you'll be out there and everybody's going to be vaccinated by then and COVID will be over.
Yeah. Will it? Will it ever be? I feel like every time I read the paper, it's like, it's never going to be over.
I think
this is your new life. Deal with it.
Yeah, it is. There is no normal. This is gonna be here forever. Like that's what I read every time I read the paper.
I think what's gonna happen, based on only slightly more scientific information than you have, is that this will become, we will manage this like the flu eventually. That there will be part of your yearly flu shot. We will, not that COVID and the flu are similar. They are not. COVID's way more deadly, but. We will manage it like we manage flu. So every year you'll get to get your new COVID shot. And that's just going to be part of it.
I think it's going to be a yearly shot.
Yeah.
I think it probably will be because,
it mutates.
Yeah, it mutates. There's been these new strands of it and everything. So I would think
it's so confusing because I feel like just the information changes every day. And so it's really hard to really understand what's happening.
Yeah. Just call me.
But maybe I want to live in some, slight naivety.
Okay, that's fine. But there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah. What?
But there is a tooth fairy.
Okay. I guess I can survive with one.
Well, there is a Santa Claus. It's that Danny's Jewish on his camp.
Does Santa Claus have COVID?
No, Santa Claus does not have COVID.
He wears a mask. He wears the beard.
He has herpes simplex too.
Oh my God.
And he had two DUIs, right?
Wait, say that again.
You've traveled a little, right?
I have, but I've only gone. I've only traveled by car. I've only done road trips, but that sort of has forced me to do things that, I've really been enjoying the natural beauty of the West. From
yes.
I've I've driven as far as Colorado and Utah, and I just got back Big Sur and the Muir Woods up in San Francisco. I did a hike with former guest here, Carrie Byron from Mythbusters, and in the woods.
Wait, a name drop.
Yep. Yeah, well, she's the guest here, awesome, so I can do that.
She was the former Doing It guest.
Former Doing It guest. Okay. So I kind of enjoyed it. I'm actually thinking about maybe going to Sedona next week.
Wow.
That's beautiful there.
It's sort of my, yeah. Anybody, like, let's go. Get to Winnebago. I'll take you all.
I want to go.
Okay, fine. You're in.
All right. How far away is Sedona?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You know, it's like when in an RV or on a sailboat, you're already where you're going.
What's the maximum far away that I can get you to go?
Like maybe 4 hours?
It's 4 hours.
Is it more?
It's a little bit more. It's like seven.
Six or seven.
But
it's gorgeous there.
But we could play, like, we play sing-alongs on the way out. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that, you know, wheels on the bus.
He'll give you all the information about COVID that he believes to be true.
I'll burst all your bubbles. So part of what we do on this show. Yeah, we do something on this show every week.
We made sure that we actually have this segment so that we can say what we like to do on the show.
This is
like,
really it just the
sounds
only,
like it's more professional.
It's really the only thing we do.
At the end of the show, you're like, what we do on this show is.
Yes, we, I take off my clothes. And so
I sing to him while
giving
my dog a bath. Yeah, it's something intimate that we like to do. Yeah.
She mocks my body. Well, we talk about what we've been watching.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
This is a segment where you like to go, so what have you been watching, Erica? That's the most professional voice I could come up with. So,
that's pretty good.
Erica,
we might need
what have you been watching?
We might be looking for a little jingle. So what have you been watching? You know, somebody want to send in a what you've been watching.
Maybe one of you should play your guitar and figure out a couple.
Yeah. Cha-ching. We get paid every time it plays.
Oh, that's when the big bucks roll in.
Yeah, that's
that and Blue Chew are sponsors.
That's that fucking jingle money, man. You can't.
That jingle. We got to get in on that sweet jingle money action.
Is it called Blue Chew?
It's called Blue Chew.
It's like it's a chewable that has all FDA approved ingredients.
Yeah,
that will help you, you know, satisfy your lady friend or gentleman friend.
Gummy? Is it like in gummy form?
It's like a Starburst. It's like a Starburst. Isn't that what they were saying?
Yeah. Taste the rainbow is what I like to say to women.
That's good.
I've been canceled.
Again, I know.
So Erica, let's forget I even said taste the rainbow. What,
can't ever forget that.
We were going to have such a beautiful trip to Sedona and it's completely off.
This episode is going to be called like with Erica Rhodes, Taste the Rainbow.
Erica, what have you been watching?
I've been watching Call My Agent.
I know. Erica got me into that, and I can't recommend it.
Oh,
I haven't seen the end.
I started watching it, too.
Isn't it amazing?
It's good. Yeah, it's really, really good. I have to wait sometimes to watch it because I don't want to read. Like,
I know, but you get used to it. You have to just focus. You can't be on your phone, you know?
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's like sometimes I just want to watch something that I just want something on in the background that I'm not.
You don't want to watch something. You want
to. You can't do that with Call My Agent. You have to be. Yeah, it's like watching Parasite.
a little different. A little bit.
No texting.
No, Parasite and Call My Agent, exactly the same thematically.
I think so.
Very similar writing styles. They're both, in their way, French farces. what? Anything else besides Call My Agent?
I just started watching I Hate Susie.
Oh, how good is that?
So good.
Jenny, did you see that?
I just started it.
She was a big drink. Isn't it great?
It's really good. It's real. The first episode, I was laughing so hard.
And tense.
And what?
Intense. That whole first episode?
Yeah.
It's basically like one, it's almost real time. For those who don't know, it's with Billy Piper and who, by the way, looks a lot like her friend Lauren Savan in some way every time I look at that girl.
Kind of does, yeah.
But she was like a pop star. And in the very first episode, somebody has put out revenge porn or has leaked her phone. And she's...
You're giving it away.
You just know that. That's all you know. You find this out in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Okay.
And it's the aftermath of all of that. But they do it in a really funny and it's almost surreal piece.
Yeah, well, also the camera's really creative. So, like, they do a lot of handheld, like... close-ups of her face, and it's not always the most flattering angles. Like, it's almost like they're purposely trying to make her seem like a little bit on edge, or like she might just kind of lose it, and very not glamorous. It's not self-conscious at all.
Yeah, and I admire her for that, because she's one of the producers of it. She wrote it, so she wants to get in there and not look like glamorous, and
right.
And boy, at moments, she really doesn't look glamorous. I mean, they go through some stuff, and it's pretty.
I like how so much of the writing just lets the behavior inform the comedy, mm-hmm. You know, which is, I think, something. I think what I'm noticing with shows that I don't like is when they overwrite everything. Too much writing. Like, let the actor do something.
Yeah. Well, as a writer.
Yeah, as a writer, we know.
I just want to say you can go fuck yourself for that, because that's because they're all the actors have to do is just do the pretending. But yeah. I play make believe. I have to weave worlds.
You have to write less though. You have to write less, fewer words. Which, I mean, the writing in Modern Family is so good because it's like you don't have them overwrite.
No, you're
right.
You're
not overwriting in that show.
Well, now I finally agree with you.
Now you got him back. Okay. No, I watched the pilot of that and I was like, I was trying to go to sleep and I was so tense by the end of watching that pilot. I'm like, okay, I can't watch
it. I Hate Susie.
Yeah.
Like, it was like really, I'm like, okay, I want to relax. I need to like watch.
I was laughing so hard because I related so much to the scene where she's like, do you guys want tea? And then she doesn't have enough glasses or like mug. So she's pouring the tea, the hot water into the glasses, and then she puts it all in the tray and then just gives up because she's like, I can't even carry it. And she serves it from the floor. And I was like, I have been in that situation so many times.
Maybe that's why I couldn't go to the second episode, because I was too, it felt too real and personal. That was the shit I would do.
You have good intentions and you're like trying to be a good hostess, and then it's just like it all blows up. Like, she didn't think everyone was going to want tea. Then she didn't have the appropriate glassware. Then like.
And she's already desperately afraid that everybody in that house is going to find out about this. It's like, it's a perfect set, a tense scene. There's a ticking time bomb under the table. We all know it. And she's able to mine all of this tension out of it. That's spectacular.
Yeah. And just also the denial to herself. Like, I think we've all been in situations where we're just like, I guess I'll just keep going. Like, I just gotta, like,
yeah, can't stop now.
I'm just going to keep going through.
Or ride this thing with the fucking wheels come off. I don't care.
I so related to the just like, I guess we're just going to have to barrel her. Like, she can't even comprehend canceling the shoot. And then they keep having her like wear weirder and weirder clothes. And, like...
How about you, Jenny? What have you been watching?
Well, I watched that pilot. I watched Netflix Hotel Cecil, that just came out.
What is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. It just came out yesterday. It's about the hotel. You know what Hotel Cecil, like out in LA?
I don't know what it
is. Okay, I don't want to tell you. I really don't want to ruin it, but it's like, it's a four part series, but it is the worst things in the world always would happen at this hotel. Like, people committed suicide, murders, overdoses. Like, it was all this crazy, like made the Chateau Marmont look like a fucking,
wow,
you know, Holiday Inn Express in Tampa or something. I don't want to give away too much, but I highly recommend it. Four-part docuseries on...
Oh, docuseries.
It's a docuseries on Netflix, yeah.
I'm watching that tonight. That's right up my alley.
It's right up here. You will love it. 100%.
I'll call you.
Is it spooky though? Like scary?
It's creepy because it's like creepy shit that happens. If you scare easy, you may not want to watch it like before bed or something. But
okay, I can't watch it ever. I get scared too easily.
I just also like that you just went, the word you just used was like, is it spooky? Is it spooky? Sometimes you're very Disney princess.
It was very endearing and childlike. Is it spooky? It is spooky. It's gonna be a little spooky.
I do say some words like that are old, like I say like hip, like that, are these glasses hip, you know? Hip is a grandma word, you know?
Yeah. Are these glasses too square?
Yeah. I just said this one in a text to the day. I was like, oh, well, just don't, you know, like somebody left in a huff.
Yeah.
And then,
oh, that's okay. Like,
what are you, my, you know, meme off from?
You're always like, I got a 23 Skidoo.
Yeah. I don't realize how much like Southern Texas shit that I say. Like, just like, oh, yeah.
I love Southern stuff. I love that kind of lingo.
I hate it.
You do?
I feel very threatened by it.
He does. He doesn't like me. No, he's like, you should assume really, like, my mother. Farming,
you know, like, oh, like, can I help you out? Like, I don't have an example.
That was the greatest example.
No, hold on. You know, like in the South, where it's like, can I help you out?
Yeah.
Hold on.
That was the worst example. Can I help you out? The
worst self tape I've ever heard.
Or something is just so weird. Like,
that was on my SNL audition tape.
Southern girl.
Oh, now I'm playing a Southern belle.
Can I help you out?
Can I help you out? How did I get on SNL?
And by the way, when I go back to Texas and come back, Danny, you know, it's all I ever say over and over. Danny, yeah. Can I help you out?
Like,
I
know, it's so.
It was cute when she said it. It was cute when she said it.
Yeah.
She said it like she was like, oh, can I help you out?
She was cute. I watched that Britney Spears doc on Hulu.
I heard it was really good.
And by the way, today that it was announced that she won that court hearing.
Oh, she's emancipated from that thing or not?
Yeah, she today.
I've never really thought about Britney Spears in any meaningful way. I just haven't. I think I was just kind of too old for, I can't be nostalgic. I was already past that. You know, I was like, when she came out, I was probably like, you know, I was in my 30s already. So if I was into Britney Spears, I was a pervert at that point. You know, you couldn't
but not for that.
But yeah, what a fucking nightmare. That
I did it again. I played with her.
Yeah. What's this? The arm movement.
Can I help you out?
That was also on my SNL tape.
I mean, you're really a triple threat.
Oops, I did it again. I played with his heart. I did Britney Spears with a Southern accent.
I tell you what. No one is going to need Blue Chew.
No, that's right. You are our Blue Chew.
Boner giver. That is
holy shit.
I just think impressions is like where I was supposed to be.
Oh my God. Your Jack Nicholson is the best. She puts her hair up. It's amazing. Here's Johnny.
Where's Johnny?
You have a sombrero. Hola.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also on that New York Times documentary, there's another one that I thought was really cool that I just wound up watching anyway, which was about the kid who hacked Twitter that time, that major hack over the summer, where it was like he'd gotten into Elon Musk and all these different people and did that Bitcoin scam.
Yeah.
And that story was like...
That was a whole documentary?
It's this whole series. This was like an hour. Both of these are just like an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. You know, they're not that long. I guess the Britney one's maybe like an hour and a half. But...
Yeah, it's like, but it's New York Times, I guess, taking a stab at trying to do documentaries. They're not, no fault. I'm not trying to like shit on them or something like that. Yeah. But it wasn't super great because the Britney thing, you didn't feel like you were getting the full story.
You were.
You know, like they interviewed the people to fit the narrative. Like it was more.
They had an agenda. That's too agenda based.
Well, it was. I actually think they had an access problem. So I think that they built it around what they had access to. So Britney wasn't speaking on it. Her father wasn't speaking to it. But it was still.
But all her like super fans were, which made it to me feel a little like.
It was that part was a little bit cheesy. Well, on that, I would like to thank you, Erica, for doing the show and for coming to Sedona with me. And it means the world to me. Jenny, you're invited too. Guy.
Thank you for including me.
Shotgun. Thank you for doing our podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's a real honor. You know, I was like, wow, when's Danny going to ask me to do his podcast?
I know, it was really embarrassing that you asked, but I didn't. And Jenny always does. And I'm terrible at this. And I'm
the booker of the show.
Yeah.
Danny's just the looks.
I'm the cheesecake.
Yeah. reel him in and then he keeps some hair. That's how we do it.
But look Good for Erica, what's the name of your special? So we can look for it.
Oh, should I say it? I haven't said it yet. Should I say it?
Why not?
You heard it first.
This will be the first time I've said the name.
Say it.
La Vie en Rose.
La Vie en Rose.
French.
I know what it is. It's French.
It's not in French. It's not in French.
So the show itself will not be in French.
Yeah, but I want it. I just want to go. I want to be big in France. That's like my new goal.
Well, you should be
big in France.
You and Jerry Lewis are very similar types. So I
can be like David Hasselhoff in Germany, Erica Rhodes. Yes.
Erica Rhodes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to be on Call My Agent if they do another season.
Don't tease me like that.
Okay, I won't. Thank you again for doing the show. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you so much, Erica. This was really super fun. This
was
a great one.
It was fun to see you in person, like almost in person.
Almost.
Well, like virtually.
Thank you again for coming on the show.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next week, everybody.
Love you guys. It's a revolution.